Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart. You might have seen the story in National Geographic, in fact, Christianity Today, 100 publications around the world. We've been treated to the latest round of claims from skeptics that the Bible is inaccurate in its history. This from February 10th, 2014. Here's the headline from National Geographic. It says that domesticated camels came to Israel in 930 BC, centuries later than the Bible says. And so that's the accusation. It turns out that researchers from Tel Aviv University in their Department of Archaeology, they did something fun. They did some carbon-14 dating on some camel bones. And they said, you know, we could pinpoint the time to when these camels were domesticated to the 10th century. And that's like half a millennium too late for Abraham and the Bible to be accurate. And so we called our expert on radiocarbon dating, Dr. Paul Giem, and he said, well, you know, conceptually, you need to talk to archaeologists because if they date camel bones and if they're 3,000 years old, that doesn't mean that was the first camel domesticated. They might have had camels domesticated long before that. So we went to our list of experts here at Real Science Radio. We've recently had a fabulous show on the excavation of Jericho. You'll recall that. And so we found a Dr. Titus Kennedy. And let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Kennedy. He's been involved in archaeological digs. In fact, in Jerusalem last year, he was a supervisor on a Mount Zion excavation. Going back to 2008 and 2010, he was an artifact examiner at the Temple Mount Project in Jerusalem. In 2010, the City of David excavations under the authority of the Israel Antiquities, he was an excavator. Also, he's been with the Discovery Institute in Seattle, Washington. He has a master's in Near Eastern Archaeology, a master's of arts in Biblical Archaeology from the University of South Africa. His master's in Near Eastern Archaeology was from the University of Toronto, and also a doctor of literature and philosophy from the University of South Africa, with his thesis on a demographic analysis of Late Bronze Age Canaan. So I think we've reached the right guy to talk to. Dr. Titus Kennedy, welcome to Real Science Radio.
Thank you.
Well, it's an honor to have you on, Doctor. So this is where the careful world of research meets talk radio. So we'll see how that goes. Could you share with us your thoughts? I've read your paper. We're going to link to it. You list a tremendous amount of evidence of the domestication of camels from the time of Abraham and before. Could you give us your thoughts when you first saw this paper published in the journal Tel Aviv?
I first saw the paper published and all the news releases about it. I was a bit surprised at the claims that were being made that camels weren't domesticated or used in a domesticated sense before the end of the 10th century in the Levant, because I thought that most scholars, or at least a vast number of them, had understood and agreed that there were domesticated camels used in the ancient Near East long, long before that, back in the second and even third millennium in some cases. So the sweeping claims that were made were very overstated, but no media outlet seemed to be giving the other side of the story.
Mm. And your article comes replete with wonderful photographs of engravings, of steles, of artwork, inscriptions from the ancient world. And what I love is your endnotes. These go to peer-reviewed archaeological journals published, you know, on different continents over a period of decades. And so this is a large body of evidence that you have assembled showing that there's strong evidence that camels were domesticated at the time of Abraham and before. But this seems to happen repeatedly, Dr. Kennedy, where if you're a skeptic and you say the Bible's wrong on something, then your work gets publicized. It's a newsflash all over the world. But then the careful work to show that the claim is unjustified, as you said, that tends to get ignored.
Definitely. Yes, this happens in many cases, unfortunately.
You're an expert on these issues. I'm not. I'm hoping that you can walk us through your paper and we could discuss actual examples of the evidence of domestication of camels in history. First of all, there are two kinds of camels, right? And are camels mentioned frequently in antiquity or relatively not so frequently?
Relatively infrequently. They're not the main animal, especially in the time that we're looking at, about around the Old Testament period.
Mm-hmm.
Donkeys are the much more prominent beasts of burden. So camels are not the one that you would expect to hear about quite as much.
And, you know, perhaps because of that, it's helped the Bible to hold a fascination with readers through the millennia because of Abraham and the patriarch's use of camels and camel caravans. And what a beautiful picture in our mind. And it's so easy to recall the Bible stories because of how rich they are in detail. The two kinds of camels, there's the single humped camel and the double humped camel. Do you recall the scientific names of those?
The single humped camel is typically referred to as the dromedary, but Camelus dromedarius.
Right.
And Bactrian camel is the two humped camel, Camelus bactrianus.
So if we can, perhaps you could lead me through your paper. I have it here right in front of me. And we could discuss the examples of camels in antiquity so that the audience could become familiar with the topic.
All right, let's do that. The first thing that we start out with addressing is the later accepted dates for the domestication of the camel in the ancient Near East. And that's how this whole discussion started recently, was this new paper coming out. And they really didn't say anything new in terms of the date. They just appealed to a different type of evidence.
Carbon-14
so
dating.
For decades, some scholars have been suggesting that camels weren't in use in a domesticated sense until perhaps as late as the 9th century BC. And that's essentially what the new Tel Aviv study said, although they said the end of the 10th century BC.
Right.
And so in order to investigate those claims, we've got to look at all the different possible evidence from around the region.
And this is something that the authors did not do, National Geographic, when all these publications reporting on this claim, it would have been nice for them to give a bit of a survey. You've given what looks to be perhaps a comprehensive survey. You reference in the British Museum the black obelisk of Shalmaneser III. And so that gets us back to about 3,000 years ago, right? But we're still half a millennium short of the time of the patriarchs.
Right. This is from the 9th century BC, and this is what has come to be the late accepted date for the beginning of domesticated camels in the region.
Okay.
And so everything prior to that is moving us closer and closer to the time of the patriarchs and even before.
Mm-hmm. So where should we begin in your list of examples of the use of camels as domesticated beast of burden prior to the 10th century BC? You have examples of, and some of these terms will not be familiar to our listeners, but proto-Sinaitic petroglyph of a man leading a dromedary camel. So that's a single humped camel at the Wadi Nasib.
Correct. So this particular petroglyph, which is an inscription on a rock face, dates approximately 5 centuries earlier than the accepted late date for the domestication of the camel.
Mm-hmm.
It may even be earlier than that, but could be as late as the 15th century BC, perhaps even as early as the 19th century BC. So this is from Egypt, and there are actually quite a few artifacts and other inscriptions that come from Egypt that argue for a much earlier than the 9th or 10th century BC date.
Well, you mention a seal. There's a cylinder seal from Syria, and it's dated at 1800 BC. When you reference these dates, and as I said, you do a wonderful job of linking to the original peer-reviewed journal papers and so on. When you reference these dates, for the most part, these are dates being assigned by experts who've been working over the last century. So you're not just putting your own arbitrary dates and associating them with these existing artifacts, right?
Right. These are the dates that were given in the specific publications for each of these artifacts or inscriptions.
Mm.
And so I'm not making dates for any of these. I'm just going off of the earlier studies for each artifact, each document, each inscription that has relevance to camel domestication.
So, Dr. Kennedy, that's a Syrian cylinder seal, and it's been dated at approximately 1800 BC. And maybe you could describe that seal to the audience.
So this seal was used to roll out a scene. Many of these had religious scenes on them. Others had battle scenes. Some had inscriptions and so forth. What this is actually depicting is difficult to say in terms of the overall scene, but we have on here multiple animals. There's some kind of winged deity, seems to be some type of hero holding the tail of perhaps a lion. And then on one side of the scene, there are two riders on top of a Bactrian camel. That's the two-humped camel. And each person is sitting on one of the humps. It looks to be a male and a female.
Mm-hmm.
Some have suggested that the male and the female riding on there are gods, or a god and a goddess.
Right.
Which could be the case, but we're not sure. There are certainly real things depicted in this seal. It's not all mythological. Even if we were to say that those are gods, then we could argue, well, whoever wrote the seal or inscribed the seal got the idea from reality, the real animals that they depicted on there, and the riding on a camel here.
Sure.
But they could also just be royalty. They could be a king and a queen also.
Mm-hmm. And then speaking of a seal, you mentioned another seal at the Walters Art Museum. And this is dated even earlier.
There are two artifacts from that particular museum, but one is a rock relief, a stone relief of a man riding on top of a dromedary camel.
Mm-hmm.
That's from about the 10th century BC.
Okay.
But the seal is from, yes, about 1800 BC.
All right. Then we come to a statue in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City. And this is a Bactrian camel, and it's dated quite early. Could you tell us about that?
So the museum has dated this to sometime between the end of the 3rd and the early 2nd millennium BC. So we could say around 2000 BC, plus or minus.
Which is, and that's 1,000 years earlier than the article that I've just seen in Christianity Today and National Geographic and so on. And well before
correct.
The time of Abraham.
Yes. Yeah, this is even probably earlier than the time of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
If we push to the earlier part of the date range.
In fact, in your description of this statue, you talk about where we get our word camel from, and it goes back to the Hebrew gamal and the Akkadian gamalu. And so, as with so many of our words, like the word pharaoh, for example, the Egyptian language didn't have a word pharaoh, but the whole world gets that term because that's the Hebrew word for the king of Egypt. And so it always interests me when the world refers to things like animals or titles based on a biblical term, which the Bible popularized from even an earlier Akkadian word.
Yes, yes. And the link here with the Bactrian camel and the dromedary camel actually goes back even earlier than Akkadian to the Sumerian language. And they link the camel to a donkey, actually. So they had two different designations. A donkey of the sea and the donkey of the mountains. So the sea would be the sea as in the desert.
The lowlands, the coastal lands.
Yeah, and that's what the difference is between the Bactrian and the dromedary. One is suited more for mountains and one for desert. I saw an interesting link there with the Sumerians that they would link it to donkey, which was the main pack animal of the ancient world.
So that if, let me see if I understand the point, if the Sumerian word for a camel is based on their word for a domesticated beast of burden, that's aside from the statue itself, which predates the time of Abraham, apparently, we also have in the etymology of our word camel, the evidence that this was a beast of burden going back to the Sumerian.
It gives that possible suggestion,
right.
Yes, or at least the recognition within the Sumerian culture that maybe the camel could be used for something like that, or it was similar to the donkey, which is their beast of burden.
Mm-hmm. You reference a Sumerian text dated about the time of the patriarchs or earlier, and it refers to camel's milk. And I'm not quite sure why that would be an argument for domestication. I guess so. Normally, you don't get milk from a wild animal. Is that the reasoning?
Yes. They would be holding these camels in some kind of pen and using them for milk, perhaps butchering them, eating their meat, using their hair to braid ropes, which we find evidence of at other sites.
And that Sumerian text is found at Nippur, dated to the Old Babylonian period, you report, which is 1600 BC to 1950 BC. So again, these are all centuries before the claim in the journal Tel Aviv from the current issue that, well, the earliest camels were domesticated in the Bible lands goes back to 930 BC. By the way, Titus Kennedy, I'd like to let the audience know that you have studied ancient languages. You've studied Hebrew, Greek, including Attic. I've only studied Koine Greek. I've started in college and continued that for some years. You've studied Egyptian, Akkadian, French. And then when you get to Russian, German, and Latin, you say that they're limited. So that's sort of impressive, Dr. Kennedy, when you could list all those languages and then say, and some limited Russian, German, and Latin. There's another text that you reference. This is a Sumerian lexical text from Ugarit, and they have a camel in a list of domesticated animals, and this is, again, during the Old Babylonian period.
Correct. Yeah, this is one of the strongest textual pieces of evidence for early domestication of the camel, I think.
Also from the Middle Bronze Age city of, can you pronounce that for me, Dr. Kennedy?
Alalak,
you found a list of rations. Could you explain that?
Yes, so this was another clay tablet, and on it, it listed several animals and rations that they were supposed to be fed. One of those animals listed on there was a camel. So this implies that camels were being kept at Alalak and fed regularly along with other animals, and this is something that you do with your domesticated animals that you're keeping at your settlement. It's not something that you do with a wild animal.
And this was reported in a peer-reviewed journal, the Journal of Cuneiform Studies. I haven't been mentioning all the journals and citations. They all come with a lot of scholarly clout. And this title of this paper was The Ration List. And so the Middle Bronze Age, we're talking about going back as far as 2200 BC, but maybe as recent as 1570 years before Christ. So again, these are a half a millennium earlier than the claim by these skeptics. And it seems that this is the pattern. The world is filled with evidence to confirm the general historicity and context of the biblical accounts. And yet one claim, and it goes around the world. What is the saying? That a lie will go around the world quicker than truth couldn't get its pants on.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have only a few more minutes, but perhaps we could look at more of the examples that you have, there's a rock carving in Upper Egypt. So this gets us into petroglyphs. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So this is similar to the one that we mentioned earlier that showed the man leading two dromedary camels. This is earlier, though. This is dated to around 2200 BC. And it shows a man, again, leading a dromedary camel and pulling him by the harness. So this, again, would suggest the date for camel domestication, at least in Egypt, prior to 2000 BC and prior to the time of the patriarchs, which would tell us that it's perfectly possible for Abraham and others to have had some domesticated camels.
And that is from the 6th dynasty of Egypt. Then you mention items from the pre-dynastic period, and they include, for example, a limestone container in the shape of a lying dromedary, that's a single-humped camel, and it is carrying a burden on its back. So now you have something that a wealthy person would have in their home just to decorate their home, and it's a little container. Maybe the wife would keep her jewelry in there, and it's in the shape of a camel carrying, like a camel in a caravan.
Right.
Yeah. And that object is in the Berlin Egyptian Museum. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So now we are approaching the conclusion of your paper, Dr. Kennedy. We're speaking with Dr. Titus Kennedy, and you have other examples, and these are extraordinary examples going far back into antiquity of domesticated camels.
Yeah. One of the most astonishing ones to me comes from Turkmenia. And in the excavations there, they found these terracotta models of carts with camels yoked to them, Bactrian two-hump camels yoked to them. So they had these camels pulling wheeled carts. And this is clearly use of a camel in a domesticated context.
And that, I'm looking at your references, that is published by the University of Chicago Press, Chronologies in Old World Archaeology, Neolithic to Early Iron Age. That was published in 1992. And an additional reference for that is from the Columbia University Press, The Camel and the Wheel, published in 1990. But your research has found other examples.
Yes. So this particular piece or series of finds, I should say, dates to around 2600 BC or even earlier. So this is long before even Abraham.
Mm. Yeah, a millennium before, where there's actual biological material from camels preserved in jars, and with a similar argument that these are domestic stock. And again, you're referencing secular journals. That comes from the Oxford Encyclopedia of Archaeology, published in 1997 by Oxford University Press. Are there any other examples, Dr. Kennedy, you'd like to add in our closing 2 minutes?
Yes. So in addition to some of the text and the wall carvings and the various statuettes indicating early domesticated camel use, there are also biological findings, things like rope made out of camel hair or camel bone that have been found at sites all over the ancient Near East and some even from the Levant. These date to the second or third millennium BC. And while they're not the most conclusive evidence for domesticated camel use, they give the suggestion that that may have been happening at those settlements because it's unlikely to find a large amount of camel, physical camel remains, especially things like their woven hair, at a site. They're not urban animals. They live out in the desert, out in the wild.
Right. It would be like if somebody in 200 years from now found that homes in Denver had wolf hair. That would be very unexpected because wolves are wild creatures. The fact that they were domesticated, which we know from so much historical and archaeological evidence, then explains why we would find actual biological remains of camels at urban sites.
Yeah. And I think we can sum up that there are several scholars who study camels, domesticated animals, who study the regions of Arabia, Egypt, Mesopotamia, and so on, who clearly date in their publications the domesticated camel to 2000 BC or before that.
To 2000 BC or before that. It's not a what?
It's not a consensus that camels were not in domesticated use until the 10th century BC.
And so you sum up the evidence that we have evidence that needs to be ignored or explained away. And in my recent readings of the last couple of weeks, it's ignored, of camel domestication from wall paintings, models, inscriptions, seals, bones, hairs, documents, statues, and stela from numerous archaeological sites, all suggesting the camel in use as a domesticated animal in the ancient Near East as early as the 3rd millennium BC and certainly by the Middle Bronze Age. Wow, Dr. Kennedy, it's an honor to have you on this program with all your experience and excavations in Israel. And thank you so much for your life's work. We're honored to have you on this program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're very welcome. We will link in our show summary, we will link to Dr. Kennedy's article, The Date of Camel Domestication in the Ancient Near East. That's at BibleArchaeology.org. And again, National Geographic's headline a couple weeks ago, domesticated camels came to Israel only 900 BC, centuries later than the Bible says. That is falsified. It is refuted by a great mass of archaeological historical research published in peer-reviewed journals. This is Bob Enyart for Real Science Radio. May God bless you. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. At Real Science Radio, we have a great science store online, realscienceradio.com. Click on the store, and there are two fabulous DVDs, What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy, Volume 1 and Volume 2. These are by a dear friend of Real Science Radio, Spike Pisaris. And Spike has created simply the greatest astronomy DVDs ever produced. And we have gone through probably hundreds of science DVDs and books, and we recommend only the very best at our store at realscienceradio.com. Click on the store, and you'll love these astronomy DVDs, What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy, Volume 1 and Volume 2. You got to get them.